I've seen many actors, many directors, many film crews come to this house to make movies, said Daniel Curtis, the son of Patricia and the namesake and great-great-grandson of the Daniel Sargent Curtis who bought Palazzo Barbaro in 1885. And every time it's been like being not exactly stabbed in the back, but scratched badly. I had met Daniel Curtis for the first time outside the Barbaro during the filming of The Wings of the Dove. Tall, lean, and with a head of dark, curly hair, he was about 40 years old and possessed of abundant charm and good looks, for which he had become celebrated in Venice. Because it's either a piece of duct tape on the terrazzo, you know that when they pull it up afterward the whole bloody thing comes off and it needs another 20 years of wax to make it as it was before, or it's something even more calamitous, as happened last year when a scene was being filmed here for In Love and War. A technician walked into the Salone with a ladder over his shoulder and slammed the end of it into an 18th century chandelier. Then, at the sound of the crash, he turned around to see what damage he had done and swung it into a second chandelier. I tell you from my heart, when something like that happens, it is, to me, like a rape of the house. The cast and crew of The Wings of the Dove came to Palazzo Barbaro, made their movie, and left. Crowds watched from the Accademia Bridge and Campo San Vio, fascinated as two mist-making machines on boats moored in the Grand Canal turned a sunny summer day into a drizzly winter afternoon, and as a cherry picker mounted on a barge lifted a cameraman high in the air to shoot a scene with Millie Teal and Kate Croy, played by Alison Elliott and Helena Bonham Carter, looking out from a balcony on the Piano Nobile. The director of photography used coral filters to give the scenes shot in Venice a warm golden glow, in contrast to the London scenes, which were shot with a cold blue motif. Inside the Barbaro, set designers draped bolts of dark velvet with gold threads over the furniture to create the chiaroscuro effect of a Sargent painting. In 2 months of shooting, the film crew caused no more harm to the Barbaro than the usual wear and tear, and advance word had it that the movie was very good. When the filming was over, prospective buyers once again trooped through the palace, taking the measure of the Piano Nobile. Jim Sherwood was one of them. In addition to owning 21 and the Cipriani, Sherwood was the proprietor of a luxury empire that included the Orient Express Railroad and a worldwide chain of 30 deluxe hotels. Sherwood's catered dinners at the Barbaro had long since come to an end when he received a call from Patricia. Patricia asked me if I had any interest in buying the Piano Nobile, Sherwood told me one afternoon as we sat on the terrace of the Cipriani. I wanted to go over and have a close look at it, but she was out of town, so I had to ask Ralph to take me through instead. Patricia warned me he'd object to the idea. I received a letter from him, enclosing a form that I was supposed to sign with a print of the big toe of my right foot. The return address was Mission Control, Spaceship Barbaro. I ignored it, and a few days later a second letter arrived in an envelope covered with blood. The message said, in effect, "Well, even though you haven't given us an imprint of your toe, you can come and look at the property." He was pleasant enough when we met with him. My thought was that we might create apartments on the Piano Nobile and advertise them as a night in a Venetian palazzo on the Grand Canal. It would have been the only accommodation like it in Venice. I had a study done and found we could make 6 apartments, but with the asking price and the vast expense of restoration and repair, I concluded it wouldn't pay off.